This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. There is a mystery, a puzzle about where the heat from global warming is going. Some of the heat goes into the atmosphere, but lots of the heat, in fact, 90% of the excess heat, it turns out, goes into the oceans. Several papers published this week in the journal Nature Climate Change tried to look at just how much heat the oceans are taking up, how quickly, and where. Joining me now is Greg Johnson. He's an oceanographer in the Ocean Climate Research Division of the Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory. That's part of the NOAA in Seattle. He's co-author of an opinion article looking at these two scientific papers. He joins us from the campus of Caltech. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you, Ira. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. What do these two papers in Nature Climate Change say? How do these fit into the bigger picture? It seems that they're saying that we've underestimated some of the heating of the oceans in some parts, and we're not quite sure what's going on way beneath the surface.
That's right. The first paper by Paul Dirac and colleagues looks at the relationship between sea level rise, which we've measured very well with satellites since about 1992, and upper ocean heat content. And because the ocean expands as it warms, those two things are related. They find that in the northern hemisphere, where we actually measure ocean temperature pretty well since 1970 ocean heat content and sea level rise both agree very well with numerical climate models. But in the southern hemisphere, the sea level agrees well, but the ocean temperature estimates are too low. The rate of warming is too low. And there's a good reason for that. Scientists are conservative. People who make maps of ocean temperature change, where they don't have data, they assume that there's no change. And so what Paul Dirac and his colleagues have done is to use the relationship between sea level rise and ocean warming to estimate just how much ocean warming we might have missed in those maps.
So we're missing how much?
They estimate that between 1970 and 2008, it's somewhere between 24, I think, and 58% of the warming. But that's in the upper 700 meters of the ocean, not the total ocean warming.
Mm-hmm. And why do we care that much about ocean warming?
So one could actually say that global warming is ocean warming. As you said, the oceans are taking up about 93% of the heat. About 3% of that excess energy that's coming in at the top of the atmosphere is going into warming land, about 3% into melting ice, and only 1% into warming the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. That sort of answers a puzzle that's been happening over the past 15 years, where we've seen, as global warming has been continuous, the air temperature has not risen that much, and the answer has been that the heat is being sucked up by the oceans.
That's right. The sea levels have continued to rise, and as the second paper, the Lovell et al. Paper, shows, in the upper half of the ocean volume, the upper 2 kilometers, which we measured very well with an array of robotic floats called Argo floats since about 2005, the oceans have continued to warm at a pretty good clip.
And how much do we know about the deeper ocean? Where does that ocean start? How much do we not know about it?
So, as I said, Argo went global in 2005. The deeper ocean, we can presently only measure from ships. We have to stop the ships, lower an instrument to the seafloor, and measure temperature, salinity, and other parameters as they come up. And we have only sparse measurements. We generally do about 10 or 20 transoceanic sections every decade, and we revisit them once a decade. So we don't know a lot about how deep ocean temperature is changing.
Is it possible that if we got more measurements, a larger sample, we might find something different?
Absolutely. And that's something that scientists are working on. The Argo array has been so successful that we have decided that it would be useful to measure the entire ocean volume. And so colleagues at Scripps Institution of Oceanography have developed a float, a deep Argo float. There's also a commercial outfit on the East Coast, Teledyne Webb Research. These are floats that are capable of cycling from the surface down to the ocean floor and measuring temperature and salinity on the way up, and doing that hundreds of times over the last years. And if we can put enough of these out, we will be able to close the global energy budget and understand why sea level rise is occurring.
Speaking of budget, how many of those ocean floats do you need?
So probably it depends on the question you want to answer. I would I would say a bare bones minimum for looking at the global heat budget and sea level rise on decadal time scales might be 1200, a number like that, afloat every 5 degrees latitude by 5 degrees longitude in the deep ocean.
And how much would that cost? Do we have the budget for that?
We don't have a rough number. This is an international program. I would say it's probably on the order of $20 million a year.
Hmm. Now, climate warming skeptics have used this study. The studies in a paper published this week say that the studies show that the models for global warming are not reliable and perhaps faulty. Do you agree? How do you answer that?
I think the Dirac et al. Study shows that the exact opposite, actually. It shows that the models are simulating ocean heat uptake and sea level rise where we measure those things well. Where we don't measure the ocean warming well, the models and the data disagree. But I think that's actually just because we don't have enough data. And the Lavelle et al. Study, which looks at time since 2005, the Argo floats show that the ocean is gaining heat at a good clip. The uncertainty comes from trying to infer what's going on in the deep ocean.
Why is there such a disconnect between the upper ocean and the deeper ocean?
The upper ocean, you mean in terms of,
yeah.
it's partly just observations. It's that we have good observations.
Well, no, I mean
in
the way the water circulates. Why is there no mixing? Gets from the hotter water on top. Was it just that hot water rises, is lighter, and stays at the top?
So the upper ocean is in direct contact with the atmosphere. And the entire upper ocean is in direct contact with the atmosphere. So the upper 100 meters or so of the ocean sees the atmosphere because heat gets mixed down by wind relatively rapidly. And so that actually sets one time scale of the climate. It takes about somewhere between a couple years and maybe a decade for the upper ocean to come into balance with the energy imbalance. So that's about the time the ocean actually slows down global warming, right? If we suddenly jacked up the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and then held it constant, the atmosphere would continue to warm for about a decade, maybe two, and that's all because of inertia in the upper ocean. The deep ocean, it takes much longer to get that heat down. There are places where water sinks down, becomes very cold and sinks in Antarctica and the North Atlantic, and those regions, there's water down in the deep ocean that hasn't seen the surface for 1,000 years, and so the amazing thing is that's
amazing enough.
Yeah, that is amazing, but it has important implications. It has implications for sea level rise. It means even if we fixed the atmospheric CO2 at the levels it is now, sea level would continue to rise for centuries to millennia.
Mm-hmm. The ocean is rising because of the temperature of the water and the surface. Then mostly that's expanding.
It's seeing the most warming in the surface. The warming rate seems to decrease as you go down to mid depth where those really old waters are, and then at the bottom of the ocean, which sinks at the poles, the warming is a little bit larger again, and so it's important to measure that bottom ocean warming. That's a climate signal, too.
How long does it take? You said it might take a decade for the ocean, the surface temperature, the surface ocean to sort of fix itself. We have any idea how long it takes for that to work its way down deeper where it can get mixed?
Like I said, about a millennia for the entire ocean to come into its new warm state of being. After we fix greenhouse gas concentrations. Mm.
So if you had the money and you had the ability to put out 1,200 beach ball sized buoys that can take the temperature better, what would you learn? What do you want to learn?
What we want to learn is exactly how much energy is coming into the climate system, and where. Those are important for predicting how fast the atmosphere is going to warm, and how much, and as well as how much and how fast sea level is going to rise. It's actually also important, it turns out, for initializing even decadal predictions. Scientists are now working on trying to look at regional patterns of climate variability out to a decade or so, And it looks like places in the North Atlantic, where the deep ocean is very dynamic, is actually important potentially in predicting, say, whether Europe is going to be cold for the next, have cold summers for the next 10 years.
So you could make sort of a climate prediction over a span of 10, 20, 30 years.
That's research that it's in its infancy, but that's what people are saying at the moment.
Any idea if you're going to be able to get those 1,200? Well, I guess there would be 900 more buoys that you're looking
for. So at the moment, we're at the level of a few dozen, even less, actually. The U.S. just put out two. They're working very well. We're going to go back in a year. Actually, when I say we, I mean that's actually the scientists from Scripps. They will put out another a dozen or so and recover those two, look at the instruments, make sure they're working well, make improvements. There are initiatives being put forward to perhaps fund a larger array. It'll take a little while to build, I think. Mm-hmm. We need to show it's really useful.
Mm-hmm. And how deep can they go down? I mean, some of the ocean is miles deep. How deep can these things go?
So these floats are designed to go down to 600 atmospheres of pressure. That's 3¾ miles, roughly. They will allow us to measure ocean temperature in all but a few hundred meters in some of the deepest abyssal plains and the deep trenches. So about 98-99% of the ocean volume we'll be able to measure.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Johnson.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Greg Johnson is oceanographer in the Ocean Climate Research Division of the Pacific Marine Environmental Lab. That's part of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Seattle.